Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Local Hour. We're talking EKU baseball with the closer, Joe Clancy. EKU women's basketball with the one and only Caitlin Costner. And we'll talk some EKU football as well. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Local Hour.
McKinney looks, steps into the pocket, throws open, receiver, touchdown! Colonels, we're not done yet!
Our identity is we're going to press for 40 minutes, we're going to play up-tempo, we're going to play with unbelievable passion, and then our brand is the most exciting 40 minutes in sports.
Welcome into an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It is time to join the flavor revolution. And you can do it at righteousfelon.com. And if you use the code sports, not sports, if you use the code STOVE15, you get 15% off your purchase. Welcome into another Monday night edition of the Sports Stove Local Hour. I'm Vince Stover, joined as I am every Monday by the one and only Ryan Jackson. How you doing, Ryan?
No, I was doing good today. I went to go get my books. It was a little cold, but school's starting soon, so I'm excited.
So as most people watching this or listening to this know, it snowed. So we've got snow on the ground. It is ridiculously cold outside. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Day. And so I was off work today, but I had a friend whose mother passed away last week. So I had the honor to preach at her funeral this afternoon. And got out in the cold a little bit for that, and then spent the rest of the day underneath a blanket because it's so stinking cold outside. So, books now, that's always exciting. I do not miss for one second. I do not miss school. But I remember those days getting the books, having your class schedule, getting all that ready to kick off for a new semester and things like that. But more importantly, not really than that, is football. You guys had your first team meeting last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was it like being back in the room with all those guys?
It was actually fun. It was real homey. Like it felt cool. It was nice. Me and a couple of the guys got together before we even left to go to the meeting. So it was good catching up with all my friends. And then we proceeded to play the game of who is that guy, where we really just look around the room and guess who in the world is that guy, and whether it's our former teammates, former friends, or if it's new guys, it's just fun. And the first meeting's always fun. You go over your team rules, expectations for this year, stuff that we're going to get into. And like I said, it's just a homie vibe, and everybody's back.
Where do you sit in these meetings? Are you a middle of the room guy, side of the room, back of the room, front of the room?
Yeah. Coach Wells has a weird little system of how he sets up the chairs. So it's usually younger guys in the back, and you kind of make your way forward. So I finally made it to the front of the room. I'm right in front of Coach, so I'm there for all his passionate speeches. And I'm up close and personal. I sit next to B. Sloan, so I feel really cool.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, I'm a preacher. Preachers have a bad reputation of spitting on people. As Coach Wells, does he spit when he talks?
When he's real passionate about something, there could be spit involved. Usually it's luckily he more projects on the other side of the room than my side. But yeah.
Anything new? And you have to tell us details behind it, but is it, because I mean, you've been in several of these meetings now over your time in college. Does it change over the years? Is it relatively the same every year?
It's always different with new people coming in and out. So every year we've had a different like medical person talk. So I would say the information's usually all pretty much the same year after year. Coach Wells doesn't have many rules, not many rules to follow either. It's just expectations for this year, how last year's season went, and kind of our goals and what we plan to achieve.
And who speaks in this? Is it just Coach Wells, or you just mentioned another person, but is it the coaching staff? Any players speak, anything like that?
No, it's mostly just Coach Wells. No real. We get the rest of the staff involved, but definitely not players.
Yeah.
They don't want us coming there and talking.
Oh, man. Well, I know it's always good to get back together with guys and hang out, catch up, and get ready for what's ahead in the spring, because let's face it, at the end of the day, spring, well, you tell me, I the way I would look at it would say spring and summer isn't the fun part. Fall, when the season kicks in, is. Would you disagree with that? Is spring fun?
Spring can be fun. Spring is where you put in the work for fall. So spring is where you get your bonding experience. You get to know what kind of team you're going in with. You kind of see how tough you guys can be, and you build your relationships more than anything. So spring, but fall is definitely way more exciting. That's when all the stuff that matters comes up. And I don't want to say stuff that matters like spring ball isn't important, but that's when the winning starts to show up.
Yeah, I picture spring as a lot of running, a lot of weightlifting, that kind of stuff, and not quite as much just straight football stuff. Right. Would that be true?
Right. Yeah. Well, we're gonna do a lot more kind of football stuff this year, but definitely more lifting and running than football.
All right. So, do you have a lifting goal this year? Something you want to hit, whether it's bench or squat or whatever it is?
I kind of want to see. One of my better lifts is deadlift. I want to see if I can get to the 450 to 500 range in there. And then everything else is just as getting as high as I can. For the last year, I'm leaving it all out there, and I'm going all in. So,
yeah. All right. I like it. I like it a lot. I was a little discouraged that Coach Wells didn't ask me to come speak to the team for your opening meeting, but that's okay. Maybe next year. I have tons of knowledge I can pass on. The EKU sports world is still rolling, of course. Tennis opened up this week. The girls got a win over Western Kentucky, I believe. So that's exciting as well. Guys are playing too. EKU men's hoops are rolling in conference play. We talked with Coase about this right before they started conference play, and they kind of hit a rough patch heading into conference play. I think they were on a five-game losing streak heading into conference play, and now they've won four straight in conference play. So 4-0 in the conference, 8-point win over Lipscomb, 10-point win over Austin Peay, 17-point win over Central Arkansas, and a 9-point win over North Alabama. So that's two home games and two road games, and coming up next for them is Saturday against Bellarmine, at home against Bellarmine on Saturday. Actually, they have a three-game home stretch coming up now with Bellarmine, Jacksonville, and North Florida all coming to town here in the next starting Saturday through the next two Saturdays. So let's see here. So I'm surprised though. I was surprised to see how much they kind of struggled in the non-conference games. And now that they've hit the conference games, it seems like, man, they found what they needed to find, and it's all working for them.
Right. Conference games is a whole different ball game, because that's, you have to refocus in, because that can put you in a different position. Like, you win your conference games and you win your conference, you control everything. And that regarding your conference. Non-conference games, they're good to get some competition in. They're good to get some work in, especially against high-level players. But conference is where you make your money in.
Yeah, and basketball, you win your conference, you go to the tournament, and that's a big deal. I mean, that's massive. I mean, you guys go to the playoffs if you win your conference in football. There's something about March Madness, though, that, I mean, that opportunity for guys or girls to get there just simply by winning the conference is huge. And these guys were predicted to win the conference this year going in preseason stuff. But again, just they didn't, something was missing. Something was not clicking for them. They were missing shots. That was probably the main thing in non-conference play. And they played some tough opponents, but yeah, it's fun to see it clicking right now. Their two road games, they scored 80 plus points in both of those games. Actually, in their four wins, they scored 80 or more in three of those four wins. So things are falling for them right now, which is fun to see them. We'll talk about the girls a little bit later. We've got Caitlin Costner coming on. Caitlin was the latest addition to the EKU women's team, transferred in from Ohio State, and she's been playing now for the last several weeks and contributing to the team in a big way. I think she even started the last game or two as well. So I'm excited to talk to her. We're also going to talk some EKU baseball. Last week we had Coach Prothro on. If you did not watch that that episode, you're one of only a few people in the world who haven't. We had a great viewership on that episode. But one of the names that Coach Pro brought up was Joe Clancy, who closes not every game, but he is a end of the game pitcher for EKU baseball. He's going to join us here in just a couple minutes, and we'll talk some EKU baseball with him. I do want to mention, though, and we mentioned it as we entered into the program today, but Righteous Felon Jerky, again, we're really grateful for their partnership with us in this program. And along with that, we're grateful for how they learned how to make jerky. It's really good jerky. And I want to encourage you to go out and try it for yourself. And you get to support the program while doing so. So you go to righteousfelon.com. And when you check out, all you got to do is type in the code STOVE15. That's STOVE15. And you get 15% off your purchase. And you get yourself some really, really good jerky too. So, you know, there's a local company here that makes jerky and it's good. But I honestly really like Righteous Felon better than any other jerky I've had. The tenderness of the jerky is incredible. The flavor is solid. If you like spicy, they got some kicking flavors. Ryan, you had that habanero Escobar. It had some good kick to it, didn't it?
Yeah, that definitely has a good spice to it.
It'll clear out the sinuses. But they got a few like that, but they got some other milder flavors. I love the bootleg and barbecue. It's my favorite flavor that they have, but they got a lot of good stuff. So make sure you check them out, righteousfelon.com. And get yourself some jerky. Let's see here. Other things going on in the EKU sports world, though, before we get to Joe Clancy. Like I said, the volleyball is rolling. Antoinette Walker continues to just, when she's playing, she's been hurt a lot this year. But when she's on the floor, she's just showing up as the A-Sun player of the year. I mean, she's not, even though she's battled injuries, it doesn't seem like when she does play that she's not letting that affect her very much.
Yeah, she seems to be a great player, and obviously has a great respect for the game, and she kills it. Anytime I've come to her game, I've seen her. She gets her mid range going. She's lighting up on the full court press, and she's in it for her team. And she seems like she's really she really wants it this season.
Yes, indeed. So I'm excited to talk with Caitlin a little bit later in the program about that. And again, they're. And they're just a fun team. They're a fun team. So a lot going on there. The snow has canceled some things, but so far nothing at the university as far as sporting events goes. So we had a game, high school game, get canceled today. And hopefully we're supposed to play tomorrow, but we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes down. But we're going to take a quick break and hear from some of our sponsors. And the plan will be when we come back to talk to Joe Clancy from EKU Baseball. Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at righteousfelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's righteousfelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout.
With over 20 years of experience, Matt Schaefer and the good folks at locally owned IPM Pest and Termite provides pest control service for all of Central Kentucky's pest control needs. Whether you have a current pest control problem or want to prevent infestation from ever entering your home, IPM Pest and Termite offers maintenance programs that will help keep pests out of your home and provide peace of mind. So for dependable, reliable services that you can count on, get in touch with our good friend Matt Schaefer at IPM Pest and Termite today at myipm.com. That's myipm.com.
Welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's now time to bring on our first guest of the evening. Last week, Coach Pro told us all about him and the importance that he is to the baseball team. He is EKU pitcher Joe Clancy. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Awesome. Thanks for being on the program. Appreciate you coming on. Last week, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it or not, but we did talk to Coach Pro Throw for a while. And we asked about some of the guys that were returning and the pitching staff. And he was very quick to bring up your name as an important piece of that staff, bringing in the he didn't know what to call the role, which I thought was kind of funny, but the closer role, as we think of it, end of the game role, whatever it may be, and the importance that you bring to it. Let's talk about last year first, and then we'll get into this year. 5-2 on the year, three saves, 3.33 ERA in 24 and a third innings, striking out 30 batters in your season last year. And your first season at EKU. So how was the adjustment? And obviously it went pretty well for you last year.
It was very smooth transition. One thing that you kind of see now coming in from like a junior college to a Division I program or just any program in general, it's really hard for guys to find that right fit, you know, whether it be obviously, you know, when it comes down to recruiting, their biggest job is, you know, get the guys on campus. So you may kind of have some stories of some guys who are told some things on the phone and things are different when they get to campus. One thing Coach Pro and Coach Jones were very honest about with me was whatever they told me I was going to have the opportunity to get. So when they had first reached out to me and I was at junior college, they told me, they were like, look, here's the situation. Like, we're fairly confident that Will Bryan, their closer, was going to get drafted. And if he did, obviously it wasn't given to me because, you know, nothing that goes on in sports is given, but they're like, this is going to be the role that we see you as. You're going to have the opportunity to get it. So coming in the fall and then obviously being given that opportunity, it kind of helps from a trust standpoint, because you know that, you know, you weren't being told a load of nothing on the phone. And he says it all the time, you know, to not walk around on eggshells around him. He's very good. If he doesn't like something that you're doing, you know, he's going to be upfront and just be like, hey, we need to fix this, rather than, oh, you know, I don't like the way he acted today, I'm just going to give him the cold shoulder. So I think that's something he's really good about. He's very honest with us, which made the transition easy. But, you know, the season started off well. The first game, got my first college save when we went down to South Alabama. And then I had a decent outing against NKU. And then I kind of had some little bit of struggle in the Asheville series and then our midweek against Cincinnati. I had some nerve damage going on post Tommy John that we didn't really know what was going on, so I couldn't really feel my fingers. There was a really big adjustment period following those two outings and how we were going to attack it, how we're going to manage it, and kind of relearning how to pitch. But I got that cleared up this summer and everything feels a lot better.
Awesome. Now, you didn't know Will, correct?
No, but you know, he was here that summer. I came early with all the freshmen that year in early July, and he was around. I talked to him all the time. He still comes back after the season. We talk every day. Like, we text each other, just kind of bouncing back and forth. Anything that, you know, any thoughts we have that could help make us better baseball players.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, he was such a smart guy and obviously a talented pitcher. Getting drafted and having that opportunity as well. When you have that, what did you ever have that role before where you were closing out games? You
said in junior college I did. I think the reason why Coach Bro has a little bit of trouble calling it or like declaring a role for it is in junior college it was a very hybrid thing for the way that we attacked it. So obviously it was a closer role. If we went into, you know, the last inning or two of a game and we had a lead, I was going to pitch. But we also So I went to Hartford, which is in Maryland. So Northeast baseball, we don't get to really play the 9-inning games. We'll do two doubleheaders. So two 7-inning games on a Saturday and a Sunday, and then one on Tuesday. If we had a lead after the fourth or fifth inning, like this, so let's say we got a 3-run lead after the fourth inning, we're playing a good team, and our starter gives up a leadoff walk and a leadoff single, I would just go finish the game. And I'm always in his ear. You know, he has no issues telling me to get out of his office sometimes with some of the ideas that I come about. I'm always asking to throw more than he would like. I know it's not easy for him to always hear my ideas and my thoughts. I like to think he listens to me sometimes. But, yeah, I'm constantly begging, like, hey, let me throw three today if we have a lead. Or, hey, you know, if we need – like good team, hey, the second some trouble gets in, like, let me. I have a very different look on baseball, I feel like, than most people. You know, everybody, obviously, I think the most important thing when it comes to baseball is starting pitching. You know, if you can limit an offense early in a game, even when you're playing a really good team, it allows your offense to kind of settle in. You know, if you give up a 5 spot in the first inning against a real, you know, SEC opponent on a Tuesday, it's hard for your offense to be like, okay, well, now we're facing a really deep pitching staff. Everybody has good stuff. Like, you know, like, baseball is hard enough. So to get in that situation, to expect every hitter to give mentally 100% is hard, even though, you know, everybody's telling themselves they are. It's difficult. But really, if you look at baseball, a lot of games are won and lost in the middle innings, like in those pitching changes. It's really hard to make a lot of pitching changes in a baseball game and have everything go right. So yeah, I'm always begging them to switch it up.
So would you prefer to start? Like, if you would got to choose what you're going to do? Would
it be do anything. If I can do something that helps us win, I'll do it. If he wants me to start on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, Tuesdays, I'll start. If it goes from, hey, you're the closer, to kind of like how it was in junior college, where, like, hey, you're just a high leverage guy, whether that high leverage situation is in the third inning on a Friday against Gulf Coast, where we scored 5 runs in the first 3, and now they've put up 3 runs in the fourth inning and we're in a little bit of trouble, and, like, we need to stop the bleeding, you need to go, and I'll do anything.
Now, Ryan, listen to this. In high school, his senior year, Joe had a 0.81 ERA, 134 strikeouts in 60 innings as a senior. So what's your specialty, Joe? Is it speed? Is it movement? What's your specialty?
I have what the baseball world has now termed as a, like, rising fastball.
Okay.
Kind of growing up, you always heard, like, you know, people would tell you, whether it be a catcher or a hitter or a coach, like, hey, you know, your fastball is heavy. It's heavy. A lot of stuff goes into it. It's very that analytical side of baseball, but, you know, I'm not like an overly tall guy. I'm 6'1 on a good day. But I get very far down the mound. So I release the ball very low as well. I think it's like I'm normally somewhere between like a 4'9 and a 4'11 release height, with 7 feet of extension. So, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches is where the mound is. You take 7 feet off of that. And then I'm releasing it from such a low angle. And then I have what they would call good carry, which is it's termed as induced vertical break. So I have really high that. It's very pure, which all it really is basically gravity has less of an effect on the baseball for my fastball than it normally does for the average. So, you know, like, hitting's all perception. It's like, okay, I see the ball now. Where do I think it's going to be by the time I'm swinging and making contact? My fastball just happens to have less drop. So from a super low release height, it doesn't look like it ever goes down. So that's my specialty, throwing fastballs at the top of the zone and getting above bats.
Nice. Ryan, what do you got for Joe?
You might have already answered my question a little bit. So 3-2, ninth inning. What pitch do you hope is called? The fastball?
There's no hope. You know, like, we wear the signal collars on our wrists, you know, they punch in some numbers, it buzzes, and I would put a million out of a million on it. I'd put my life on it at whatever money's in my bank account, whatever I'm worth, I'll put that it would say 1-1.
Now, with that, have you ever shaken off a coach's call?
In junior college. Okay. you know, he says we're allowed to. Yeah. But, you know, I really don't. There wasn't a situation last year where I felt like, you know, I want to throw something different, especially towards the end stretch of the season because of what was going on with the feeling that I had in my fingertips. It was just genuinely hard for me to kind of spin breaking balls. That's kind of where we led into like the development of a cutter because it was just easier to control. But yeah, you know, I'm not really picky on that stuff. I think what comes down to a lot of it is something that you have to have if you want to be a good pitcher is it doesn't matter what's called. I don't think it's going to get hit and I don't think anybody's going to hit it. Which I think helps a lot. Like I think a lot of guys on our team have that, in themselves is I think I could throw 30 fastballs in a row and tell the team that I'm throwing a fastball and I'm confident that I'm not going to get hit. So no, I don't plan on shaking. I don't want to see what happens if I shake and give up a hit. I'll just stick with what's called, you know, they do the scouting reports. Yeah. He's coached and played baseball for way longer than I've been alive. So I'll leave it up to him.
Yeah, there you go. He is old. I'll give you that.
He's way younger than anybody would think. You know, it's the stress. It's the stress of coaching a college sport that adds the gray to him.
Yeah. Now, is there a pitcher that you've kind of molded your style after at all?
I never really watched that much baseball growing up. My family's a huge football family. My brother played football at the Naval Academy. That's really all they cared about growing up. That's all that really, like, baseball was really just a big back burner thing. It was just something like I played. But as I grew up, like it just kind of became more of my thing. Like it's just much more of my speed. But now, like right now, I would say just like pitchers that I like, you know, everybody obviously likes, like I love watching Garrett Cole. You know, it kind of goes with like me not shaking. I love watching like the no nonsense guys, the dudes who just go up there and are like super pure, simple playing or just like trying to get people out. I love him. Edwin Diaz, obviously a closer. He's fun to watch. Munoz, he pitched in the back end for the Mariners. He's fun to watch. Seawald from the Diamondbacks is really fun to watch this year because, you know, he's their closer, but, you know, he's not anything like crazy powerful, 92, 94. But again, he has like that really unique fastball profile. So it's kind of someone I guess you could say like relate to. So it was nice watching him have success this postseason.
Yeah, definitely. So change of catcher this year. Now, obviously, you pitched to a couple different catchers last year, and you've pitched at other places too. So what's the transition in catcher like? Because I know there is a relationship there that you guys build and form. But I would assume every time there's somebody different behind the plate, there's a little bit something different going on.
Yeah, I think just like pitching, every catcher has their own unique style, whether it be – like two knees down, one knee, just how they receive the ball and how they set up. If Will sees this, Will's probably not going to like me saying this, but I used to always pick on Will that I hated throwing to him because he was so small that I just like focused on the plate way more than I normally would if I had like a bigger catcher.
Yeah.
You can get like, honestly, I love having like, I love having Silas and Boone and Duffield. Like to me, they're all three outstanding catchers. They all also have three really good arms, which helps a lot as a pitcher, you know, trying to limit that base running. But, you know, they're all three bigger dudes, which kind of help you like it helps you not focus so much on like, you know, the 17 inches of white that you need to throw over. You're just kind of lost at throwing to the target. But a lot of it comes with repetition, obviously, which is why, you know, we kind of rotate catchers and catching bullpens. But it's also a lot of trust. Like I trust all of them that if, you know, it's bases loaded and it's a tie game. If I bounce a breaking ball, they're all three going to block it and keep it in front. So I think that has a lot to do with it is trust.
Yeah. Now, Silas, you know, coach said Silas is probably going to get the majority of time behind the plate this year. He's listed at 6'3", 205, which is drastically bigger than Will, taller, yeah, especially. Mm-hmm. And we love Will. We love Will.
Absolutely.
But what's that bond like with Silas currently? I mean, how you guys were obviously around last year. So,
So he came last spring. And it didn't really take, you know, it didn't seem like it took anything for him to like just be a part of this team. Like he came to that locker room that first day that we were all back as a team, and it was fairly normal. I love him. He's awesome. He's a great kid. He's a really hard worker. He's hilarious. Him and his roommate Connor Davis together are a real catch. But I think 205 is underselling it. He's a big kid. He's got a lot of power. He's really good. I would not be surprised if he ends up being one of those kids that we're at the end of the year, you know, like he's competing for ASUN Player of the Year.
Wow. I've heard some big things about him, and he's young. That's interesting too. You know, you mentioned you call him a good kid, and he is legit that. I mean, he's a college kid, but still, compared to you, you've been around for a little bit in life. Ryan's been around for a little bit. I've been around a long time in life. So he's a young kid. And do the catchers, are they supposed to be the most mature on the team?
I don't think they are, but just with how baseball is, it happens. You know, they played by far the worst position on the field. Catching bullpens is no fun. And every pitcher is bound to have a bad bullpen, whether it be spiking breaking balls, spiking fastballs, just like missing spots. It's a lot, you know, like just think about sitting in a squat for 3 hours or, you know, an hour and a half straight. Like it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. I know they wear chest protectors, but you can still feel the ball when it hits the chest protector. A lot of the time it's kicking off, hitting them in the thigh and the bicep and the shoulder, like areas that aren't protected, you know, and then they do that. And then they got to do catching work, and they got to do team defense, and then they got to hit. And, you know, you add Boone into that. Boone's a switch hitter. So he's got to take, you know, if they're taking 150 swings that day, he's got to do 150 from the right side, 150 from the left. They got to do receiving work, blocking work, throwing to bases. Like it's just a little different. Like obviously if you're an outfielder and you go out there and you're working on your defense, you're working on your fly balls, your cuts and relays, and like maybe reading the ball off the wall. They just have like within their position, they have a lot of stuff to do. And then they have to work with us as well. When we aren't doing team practices and we just have like bullpen groups, you know, obviously working out around people's class schedule, they're there all day, it feels like. And then when they finally stop, they got to hit. So it'll mature anybody. I would say that I think if we, you know, took those three catchers, Duffield, Silas, and Boone, and just, you know, we're like, hey, you guys are our team captains, and everybody else was quiet for the year, we'd have no problem getting through any struggles as a team. They're all, you know, really good leaders.
Nice. Ryan, anything else for Joe?
Yeah, you talked about how you went into like a little slump in baseball. I get in basketball, you just shoot your way out of a slump, and football, you just kind of do some more drills and you get over it. How do you get over that in baseball when you have a slump?
I mean, a lot of it, you can get lucky. I'll say that, like, especially from a hitting standpoint, you'll see some guys who just like are hitting balls squared up and they're right at people and they're just getting out. And then they'll get like three or four fluky hits. And then it's just like, all right, it clicks. But I think having a process helps a lot. So I'd say one thing that's helped me is like, I'm an extremely process oriented person. Like I do the same thing when I show up to the field before I'm going to throw. I have the same routine. So it's really just sticking with that. Like, yeah, I could be like, oh no, like I threw bad two times. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? And it's like, well, I'm going to do what I did the exact same time before that worked for, you know, 20 years of my life. So it's that you have to be able to just be like, I know what I've done works. I'm going to keep doing it and keep working on my, sometimes you just lose the feel. So it's trying to work yourself back in the field, but a lot of it, you just have to trust it. And, you know, Coach Pro is really good about that. He doesn't really let one outing or one performance define someone. You know, he's always going to give you chances if you've proven yourself deserving.
Now, my last question for you, Joe, is this. If Ryan Jackson steps up to the plate and you're going to throw him 10 fastballs, does he make contact on any of those 10 fastballs?
Like fair territory?
No, just contact.
Not a foul.
I'm going to, like, no. If I'm being completely honest, I only reason why I say that is because like I hit my whole life. I was always good at hitting, was a good high school hitter. I couldn't hit myself right now. It's just so hard. I think if you gave me like someone who plays baseball, even though I'm a PO now, like I played baseball my whole life, I hit my whole life. If you put me up against a single A arm, like someone who's just drafted and gave me 50 at bats, I'm getting zero hits and I'm probably striking out 40 times. It's just like that. It's such a weird sport when it comes to like what motor skills are played into it. And it's also a sport that has nothing to do with like what you look like physically. Like, obviously, like I said, I'm not very tall. If I go out and try to play nose tackle right now, I'm getting cooked. I have no chance, but I also know that I have a chance to be like an elite athlete at a hard sport, which is why I like baseball. Again, a player for us this year who's probably going to hit in the top three of our lineup and like Silas has a chance to, you know, be recognized as like a first team All-A son is Currency. And I think JC is 5'6", maybe on a good day. Like, that's being nice, but he's got crazy power. He's super fast. Like, it really just comes down to like, it's a very twitchy sport. It's weird. And if you don't do it for a while, like, you'll lose it. Again, I had to get, you know, a little minor surgery this summer. And like the first time stepping on the mound, like 2-3 weeks ago, felt like I hadn't done it in 6 years. It's weird, but yeah, 0-for-10, 100%. Supremely confident. After the season this year, if you want to do it in the summer and you're here, I'm down.
I mean, I'm a bunt one before I go 0-for-10. I'm gonna get one in play. I promise you that. But we can definitely try that.
I love it. It'll be a Sports Stove podcast special out on the ball, all in on the ballpark, and I'll see if Ryan Jackson can hit. I'll catch for you. I'll do the old T-ball catcher where you get out of the way, let it hit off the backstop, and then go pick it up. I'll do that for you. All right. Joe, we really appreciate you coming on, man. We're looking forward to the season. It's right around the corner. You guys' first game is February 16th. So it's right there, and we're looking forward to what's ahead for you guys. And we're going to continue talking to your teammates over the next couple of weeks as well. So thank you for coming on, and good luck this season, man.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
That's Joe Clancy, EKU pitcher. Man, that's fun. I'm looking forward. I'm so baseball stoked right now. I can't even explain it. I'm so ready. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're talking with EKU women's basketball superstar, Caitlin Costner. Does the exterior of your home need a facelift? All Around Roofing has you covered. All Around Roofing is a veteran-owned company servicing Madison County and Central Kentucky. From roof repairs and replacements to gutters, sidings, windows, soffits, chimney flashings, and so much more, All Around Roofing provides quality work and friendly service that will leave your house looking great. Go visit allaroundroofingky.com. That's allaroundroofingky.com for more information. All right, welcome back into the Sports Stove Local Hour. It's time for guest number two on the day. It is the EKU women's basketball player, Caitlin Costner. Caitlin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on. Nice to finally meet you. And we've talked to several of your teammates this year. And one of the things when talking with Coach Todd earlier in the season, I was just chatting with him after a game. And he said, just wait. He said, we're good now, but we're going to get better. And he said, we got Nakia and we've got Caitlin. And when they're both on the court, it's just going to make us that much better as well. So we're excited that you're on the court and contributing right now for EKU. How has the adjustment to Richmond, Kentucky been for you?
It's been great. My coaches, my teammates have been great and just welcoming me. We have a lot of like transfers and stuff this year, so we're all in it like together. This is new for all of us, so it's been really exciting.
You're originally from Indiana, correct?
Yes.
And then you were at Ohio State for a time, and now here in Kentucky. There's not massive difference between Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, right?
No, I think Ohio is probably the colder. Like, it's yeah. Real colder.
for sure. Now tell me, getting back on the court, I don't know, I didn't look it up before I brought you on. You've played in 8 games so far this season. That time off and then coming back in, how long did it take you to have your legs back under you and feel like you were at full go?
It definitely took me a couple games. You know, first game was really tough, like just getting back into playing up and down a lot, but I feel like after a couple of games, you know, I was ready and I feel good now. So it's been good.
Now, you guys have started conference play. You've played 3 games so far in the conference, getting ready to play your fourth. this week. And, you know, you guys have been flowing. We talked earlier in the year. We've talked with Aliche. We've talked with Ivy. And you kind of fit that similar mold where that smaller guard, but, you know, active and aggressive and, you know, fitting right into what everybody else is doing. How do you feel the team has grown from beginning of season to where you guys are right now?
I think like defensively, we have grown a lot, like just our pride on defense and just being able to guard the ball and be competitive right there. And I think also like just us getting more comfortable playing together. It was like, again, like I said, it's a whole new team, so it took us a second, but I feel like we're getting more comfortable with each other. So it's our offensively, we're getting a lot better as well.
You started off conference play with two tough losses, but then you guys just beat down Bellarmine, which had to feel really good, right?
Yes, it was great. We needed that one first.
When you get into that, again, you're listed as a junior, so I haven't looked up your whole career at this point, but you've been around long enough to kind of see how the ebbs and flows go of seasons. Was there any... Sure, there was frustration. Was there any doubt? Because you guys had such a great non-conference record. You came in and lost the first two conference games. Was there any, you know, heads down? What was the mindset, I guess, going into that Bellarmine game?
Going to the Bellarmine game, we were just trying to just keep growing and just keep getting better and improving and focusing on things we need to control. And I think that's what we did against Bellarmine, and it really helped us overall, like, just play a solid, good game.
Let's see here. Any relation to Kevin Costner?
I am not.
Yeah, you've probably been asked that before, I would assume.
Yes.
If not, then I'm the only stupid person. I apologize. Ryan, what do you got for Caitlin?
Watching a couple of your games and seeing how you played, basketball could not have been the only sport you played growing up. Did you play anything else?
Yeah. So I ran track. And then I also, like, I did, like, a lot of sports in middle school. I did, like, every sport in middle school, but in high school, I really only did track and basketball.
How does track play into basketball? Like obviously there's endurance, but is there anything else that it helps you with in basketball?
I'm not sure. I feel like I have like a very like quick first step, and I don't know if I developed that from track or whatever, but like, it's really like helped me a lot. And like just being aggressive offensively, like I'm way quicker. And so that could be, I don't know if that's related or not, but yeah.
Now you're obviously good at basketball. Was there another sport you actually liked better but weren't as good in? Or has basketball kind of been the favorite sport?
Basketball has been my favorite sport. My whole family has played basketball. I've grown up watching it, playing it. So that was just part of what I had to do.
Who's your favorite basketball player, or do you emulate anybody?
I am a huge LeBron fan. I love LeBron, so... Yeah.
So are you a whiner like LeBron? No, I'm sorry. I try to hate on LeBron whenever I can, so I apologize for that. no, I'm. He's a phenomenal basketball player and seems to be like a very good human being as well. So talk to me about Coach Todd. Yeah, so he's not the first coach that you've had. We know him as a quiet, relatively in control person. His coaching style, had you been coached by someone similar to his style before, or is it a new style for you?
It is a new style for sure. This is probably one of my favorite coaches I've had in my entire career, just how patient he is and just in believing us and letting us kind of have more control on what's going on in the game. And he really like trusts us, and we have a good relationship, so he's great. And he is really quiet, so that's different for me because I'm usually used to hearing a lot more and people yelling and stuff. So it's way different, but he doesn't have to yell to get his point across, so it's good.
But you also do have assistant coaches that are happy to yell for him sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
So who do you hear from the most then?
Definitely Coach Brown. Coach Brown. But I need her in my ear. I need that, so it's good.
Doesn't her experience, what she's experienced in her career, doesn't that automatically just help you go, yeah, I got to listen to this lady because she knows what she's talking about?
Oh, for sure. I have so much respect for Coach Brown and just what she did in her career. And she can help me and help me because she's already been through what I've gone through. So just kind of taking her as like a mentor for me.
What are you guys, what's the next step for you guys? Obviously, it's one game at a time. I've dealt with this with Ryan throughout the whole football season. One game at a time. Okay, great. But what is your, what is the next area of growth that you guys need to make as a team?
I think just being more consistent and, yeah, probably definitely just being more consistent in how we're playing and just making sure we're all taking care of what we got to do and doing our work outside of practice and stuff and just developing our game to better help the team.
Your next game is Thursday at home. You got two home games here, Thursday against Central Arkansas, Saturday against North Alabama. I'm hoping to be at the Thursday game. We've got a middle school game going on, and so I'm hoping as soon as that's done to run over and catch the second half of your guys' game on Thursday. ASUN play, I mean, again, you were in the Big Ten, so you've seen the high-level competition. How would you, what you've seen so far of the ASUN, how would you compare that to what you've seen, just the level of play in the ASUN?
I think the pace is very similar, just how fast we play. And, like, I think the defense is also pretty much the same, like, how aggressive people are in defense, you know, and big, like, our conference, like, we're playing bigger teams, and we're not the biggest team. So being able to adjust to that and stuff. So it's pretty similar, though, in that area.
Yeah, and what's wild is this team is amazingly bigger than the last two years that Coach Todd has had. I know he is loving having some presence underneath as well. Now, who's the best shooter on the team?
I would have to say Ivy or Bree, probably. Okay. Ivy or Bree, yeah.
Yeah, and Bree's having a great year shooting the ball, for sure. Her freshman year, it was like she was there for defense. That's what she was there for. And she has really shown up shooting the ball well. She had some time to work on it with her injury as well from there. Antoinette, let's talk about her real quick too. Antoinette is a phenomenal basketball player. She's been a lot of fun to have in the program. As well, when you look at Antoinette, do you see something different in her compared to, and that's not being mean to anyone else, but it just seems like there's something really special about her.
Yeah, I think she's just an amazing scorer. Like, she's a three-level scorer. Like, it's really difficult to guard her, and just how physical she is and how well she moves her body. Like, it's not a lot of players are doing that, so she's one of a kind for.
In practice, who's the person you love to battle against in practice?
Alice.
Yeah.
Me and Alice go at it all the time. So,
have you, has she taught you any Italian?
She has not. Okay. She's like showed me some of her Italian food. So, that's something. Yeah.
Hey, that's better than language.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Let's see here. The Alaska trip. We talked to a couple people about that. Were you on the Alaska trip?
Yes, I was there.
All right. What was the experience like up there?
It was amazing. It was fun, like, just doing, being able to do different things I can do here. Like, we went dog sledding and stuff, so that was super fun. I don't know if I'd ever go back. You know, I think that's, like, a one-time experience for me, but it was definitely fun.
That sounds like a perfect description of it right there. It was a blast, and probably the only time I'll ever do it. But, yeah, it's fun. It's neat. Where is basketball taking you? Is basketball taking you to any other cool places throughout the globe?
Yes, I think, especially in during like high school, I traveled like all over the States. I haven't been out of the States for basketball yet, but I've been like all around pretty much the States.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat opportunity, right? To give you the show, what's around. Cause there's the States are different. Every single state has some uniqueness. Ryan, what else you got for Caitlin?
I gotta ask, what's your favorite shot?
My favorite shot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the three and I like just getting to the rim. I don't know. So probably one of those.
Do you like the catch and shoot or do you like to create for yourself?
Probably the catch and shoot.
Okay. Yeah. Are you a rhythm shooter?
Yeah. I feel like I gotta be in rhythm.
Yeah.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Any regrets coming to Richmond?
Not at all.
Good.
Great decision.
I only asked that question because I figured you would say that. listen, we're excited about the rest of the season. I have not been able to make I coach high school basketball, so our seasons conflict oftentimes. So I got to some of the earlier games, but have not been to any recently. So hoping, like I said, to get there Thursday night. And we've been trying to tell people, you know, the guys team has the motto, the most exciting 40 minutes of sports. I love watching the girls team. I think you guys are so fun. It's fast. It's incredible defense. And it's a fun offense as well. And so I continue to encourage people to come out, support the ladies. And some great opportunities here this week, Thursday and Saturday, for Central Arkansas and North Alabama. And you can catch Caitlin Costner in action live there at Baptist Health Arena. Caitlin, we really do appreciate your time today. Welcome to Richmond. I haven't had a chance to say that to you yet. And hopefully we'll be in the gym soon to see you.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Not a problem. Caitlin Costner, EKU Women's Basketball. Ryan, two fun interviews today. I felt like Joe and Coach Pro would have a conversation that would last about 2 days if they got in the office together.
Yeah, no wonder they seem close. They definitely seem like cut from the same cloth. They're definitely similar.
Yeah, I loved it though. It was a lot of fun talking with him. And Caitlin, I'm so excited she's here, man. I know Coach Todd was incredibly just excited to get her and get her signed. There was some good schools that were trying to get Caitlin, and Coach was able to land her here in Richmond, and she's got more eligibility left too, which is great. And so hopefully we'll see her for a couple years here also. So a reminder, baseball season is starting soon. Now they'll be on the road to start off the year mid February. But make sure you get your season tickets are on sale now. Make sure you line up time to go and hang out, watch EKU baseball, watch Joe Clancy. We'll have some other players on. Excuse me. We'll have some other players on here in the near future as well. But I'm telling you, I did my fantasy baseball show yesterday, first episode of the year. Now talking to Joe, talking to Coach Pro last week. Like, I cannot wait for baseball to get here. And I mean, this is in the middle of football playoffs where the Packers just absolutely dominated the Cowboys and was phenomenal. You know, there's plenty of other things going on in the football world, which is great. But I'm so ready for baseball, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Caitlin was great as well. And good to get to know her a little bit. And fun to get some just little insights here and there from her. Was a lot of fun tonight as well. As always, we thank our sponsors, Righteous Felon. And again, you go to righteousfelon.com. You can get jerky there. Phenomenal jerky. And you can get it with a discount if you use the code STOVE15, STOVE15, and use that at checkout. You get 15% off your purchase. And then IPM Pest and Termite, locally owned and operated right here in Central Kentucky, servicing Richmond, Lexington, the surrounding areas. So if you're having bug issues, which right now I think the bugs are pretty much frozen, but maybe you're getting mice. Mice are an issue this time of year. You can call IPM and they'll take care of you. All Around Roofing, to take care of all your exterior needs. So whether it's roof, siding, windows, whatever it may be, All Around Roofing can take care of you. I know they have taken care of some of our viewers in the past, and they'd be happy to help you out as well. So get a hold of All Around Roofing as well if you have exterior needs. A couple things, program notes. Wednesday night, me and my dad host the Sports Stove podcast, the original Sports Stove podcast. We're talking NFL playoffs mainly right now. And then Sunday nights at 8 is the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Myself and a writer, fantasy baseball writer from bellyupsports.com jumps on with me. We talk fantasy baseball and getting leading up to drafts here coming up pretty soon. So tune into that. And then, of course, right here, the Sports Stove Local Hour, continue to bring you the interviews and the best insight outside of the university about the university. And so encourage you to tune in for that, too. Ryan, any closing thoughts before we close it up tonight?
I got a question of the day.
Would
you rather sit through a cold 9-inning baseball game or a hot AAU basketball tournament?
Oh, cold baseball game. Yeah, I'd take cold over hot. For whatever reason, in my old age. Now, this is, you guessed me 20 years ago, I would flip that. But in my old age, I would say, give me the cold over the hot. And give me outside as opposed to inside. Because those AAU games stink. So that's where I would go. What about you?
It would be hard for me not to go with the AAU game. Baseball doesn't... a lot doesn't happen. Like he said, a lot doesn't happen for the first couple innings.
True.
I can't sit there and just be cold.
So here's
the extras.
Yes. Yeah. So here's my advice, Ryan. Baseball is a perfect date sport. To take a date to a baseball game, because you can talk. You don't have to be dialed into the action all the time. And you can have a conversation. You can get some nachos or whatever and just kind of hang out and chill for a couple hours. And so it's a perfect, and again, I'm old, so I like relaxing and calm and whatever. And baseball is that. And so I love it, but it's a perfect date opportunity there. So there you go. We're going to have a Sports Stove date night at a baseball game this year. We'll have everybody bring a date and we'll hang out and watch baseball. But that's a good question. I'm telling you though, man, I cannot wait for baseball season. I'm so stoked right now. Coach Pro got me ready. Like he was he was on fire. I was ready for it. So there you go. Baseball season's upcoming, but basketball season's in right now. So go support the guys and girls. Tennis is off and running. There's other things, and I apologize to those other sports, but there's other things going on too. So check it out, EKUsports.com. I'll give you all the information you need from that. Thanks to KB for helping us get things set up with Joe. Thanks to Alex for getting things set up with Caitlin. Thanks to Ryan for always being here. Thanks to you all for tuning in, whether you're tuning in live or later. We sure appreciate your support. Follow us on social media at Sports Stove on Twitter and Instagram. And until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.